Okay, today I would like to share with you how the notion of I am or self occur. So one day, Arahan Punna Matta Niputta, he's Arahan, and he preached Dhamma to Ananda. Then he said, it is by clinging, not without clinging, that the notion of I am or self occur. Clinging to what? What would you answer? Clinging to what? It's by clinging that notion of self or I am occur. Then the next question he said, clinging to what? Okay. Some more? Sensual pleasures. Oh yeah, clinging to many things. Okay. Then he further explained. Suppose, let's say we stand in front of a mirror and our image is reflected in the mirror. So at that time, do you cling to the image inside the mirror as yourself? You look at the mirror, oh, see your beautiful face. At that moment, do you cling to the image inside the mirror, which is a reflection, as yourself or not? Sure, right? I don't think I stand in front of mirror and say, hey, that's not myself. It's the person inside the mirror is not myself. We never think that way, right? We definitely say that, oh, the reflection inside the mirror is myself, right? Okay. But is it really yourself or not? The image inside the mirror. Is it really yourself? No. It's just a reflection, right? It's just a reflection. So, if even a reflection in a mirror can fool you into regarding what is not self as a self, then what to say of your own mind and body? Even reflection, we also think it's myself. So even the reflection can fool us. What to say? Our own mind and body. So we regard the body as self, right? When we regard our feeling, whether pleasant or unpleasant, as self. We regard our mind, our thinking, our planning, our reflection, our knowing mind as self. So, therefore, Punna Matta Niputta say, is by clinging to mind and body, or another word, five aggregate. It's clinging to body and mind that notion of I am occur. So we cling to not only body, also feeling, also our perception. Our karma also, volition, our karma and our mind, knowing mind, as self. Therefore, the notion of I am occur. Okay? So, if something, let's say now we come to meditation, we observe our body. So, there's many sensations that arise in the body. Heat, cold, pain, aching, or vibration, itchiness, or pushing. And all this sensation that arise in the body, if you keep your mindfulness on it, will this sensation change or it is stable there all the time? Change. Okay. So change mean what? Impermanent, right? So whatever appear in the body is impermanent. Then, when sometimes there's a pleasant feeling, there's an unpleasant feeling. For example, while eating, we feel pleasant feeling. So, is that pleasant feeling change or stable? Change. So, when we observe the unpleasant feeling, maybe the back ache or shoulder ache, is that unpleasant feeling change or stable? Change. Then, when we observe our mind, different state of our mind, the mind affected by irritation, when too much pain. And the mind associated with joy, sometimes meditation goes well. So the mind associated with joy. Sometimes the mind affected by restlessness. Sometimes the mind affected by slow and torpor. So all this mental state, are they stable or changing?
Changing.
So they are changing. Okay. So all this are changing, therefore they are anatta. They are anicca. The body is anicca, the feeling is anicca, and the mind, knowing mind, or different state, different mental states are anicca. Right? However, ordinary people, we cling to the body which is anicca. You all already agree with that. So we cling to the body which is anicca. Is this, what is anicca? Is it dukkha or sukha? Happiness or suffering? Suffering, right? So when we cling to the body which is anicca, and what is anicca, impermanent, is suffering, then we cling to suffering. Right? When we cling to the body, we cling to suffering. Because body is anicca, impermanent. What is impermanent is suffering, right? So when we cling to the body, it means that we cling to suffering. This is correct way of seeing things. If you don't see things in this way, there's no way to escape from suffering. Similarly, we cling to our feeling, whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And just now we already agree, feeling is impermanent, right? It changes from pleasant to unpleasant, from unpleasant to neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And therefore, feeling is impermanent. What is impermanent? Buddha say is dukkha, is suffering. So if we cling to feeling, then we cling to suffering. Similarly, different mental state of mind. So I'm very angry. So I cling to the anger. And is anger impermanent or permanent? Impermanent. What is impermanent? Is it happiness or suffering? Suffering. So if you cling to the anger as myself, then you cling to suffering. Similarly, joy, happiness. Joy, happiness is also mental state. They are impermanent, subject to change. And what is subject to change is suffering. So if you cling to the happiness and joy, you are clinging to suffering as well. Because when they change, when happiness and joy change, then it becomes something not pleasant already. Therefore, when you cling to joy and happiness, you cling to suffering. Okay. So, and it's because of this clinging, then the notion of I occur. And it's because of this clinging, then the suffering comes about. Now we are clinging. As long as you cling to the body, you cling to suffering. As long as you cling to feeling, you cling to suffering. As long as you cling to your mental state, you cling to suffering. Why? Simply because all these phenomena are subject to change. What subject to change, Buddha say, is suffering. Okay? Then now, how does a notion of self not come to be? Just now we talked about how the notion of I am come to be. Now, another way, opposite way. How the notion of self not come to be? This is what we want to achieve. As a practitioner, right? So, the Sutta say, the Buddha say, we should not regard body as self. Just now we will say, because clinging to the body, then the notion of I am comes to be. So now, to undo this, then we should not regard body as self, or body possess a self, or self possessing a body. This is what we commonly think. I am so and so. I have body. Right? So the self possess a body. When you think the self process of body. This is how the notion of I am comes about. So we should not regard body as self, or self possess a body, or body as in self, body inside the self, or self as in the body. All this way of perceiving things, they cause notion of I am, notion of self occur. Okay? Similarly, we should not regard our feeling, pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant, as self. We should not regard body as self. Then how should we regard the body? So that notion of I will not arise. We should see body as composed of four elements. Earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. So if we see the whole body, so when you observe the body, then you see hotness, then it's earth element, we feel hot, there's fire element, we feel vibration, this wind element, and we feel cold, this fire element. So we keep seeing the body as element, the element as element, not as self. Only then we will gradually we will let go of the notion of the body as self. Okay, come to the feeling. So Buddha say, we should not regard feeling as self. Then how should we regard the feeling? Ordinary people, we regard feeling as self. But to undo this, we call identity view. Then how should we regard the feeling? We should regard feeling as a mental factor that feels, that experiences. So in Abhidhamma, we have so many mental factors. Feeling is one of the mental factors. So feeling has the characteristic of being felt. Now feeling's function is to experience the desirable aspect or undesirable aspect of an object. For example, food. Food is desirable things for us. When you are hungry. So when we are eating, so we feel very pleasant. So at that moment, it's the feeling, it's the pleasant feeling that experience the desirable aspect of the food. Not I experience the desirable aspect of the food. It's the pleasant feeling experience the desirable aspect of the food. So if you can see feeling, it's just feeling that feels the desirable aspect of food, then you let go, you get rid of the notion of self. Similarly, when you are aching, pain, so much pain, at that moment, if you think pain is myself, I am painful, then the notion of I am occur because you cling to the pain. So at that moment, you should see, unpleasant feeling. It is unpleasant feeling that experiencing the undesired aspect of that pain. And is feeling unpleasant feeling yourself or not? Yes or no? Not yourself. It's just a feeling. It's just a mental factor of feeling. So if you can see feeling as feeling, then you get rid of identity view. You get rid of notion of I am. Get it, the notion of self. Okay? Similarly, different mental state. They say irritation arise. When irritation arise or anger arise, then at that moment, we see anger as pure mental state, not myself. Anger make the body very hot, want to take revenge, want to push away something which is unpleasant. This is are the characteristic of anger. So at that moment when we feel angry, so we try to see anger as a mental state only, not possessing a self, or not as self. If we can see anger state just as a mental state, then at that moment, now we get rid of notion of I am. notion, the notion I am. Similarly, when you feel sorrowful, okay? When you feel sorrowful, you should see the sorrow state of the mind. It's just a mental state that arises due to conditions. Right due to condition, when that condition disappears, it vanishes. It does not last long. It's just a temporary phenomena arise due to conditions. So if we can perceive in this way, if we can see in this way, at that moment we get rid of notion I am. Similarly, happiness. Happiness, sorrow, and whatever state of your mind, slow and topper. When slow and topper arises, we feel that I am so sleepy. I'm struggling. So when you feel that I am sleepy, then the notion of I am arises. Because at that moment, you do not see sloth and torpor as a mental state. But you see as belong to me. You see the sloth, torpor belong to me. Therefore, the notion of I am occur. So next time when a sloth and torpor arise in you, just see it as a mental state. As I shared with you before, just look at it. It will go. When it goes away, then you clearly see, it's not myself. It's not myself at all. Similarly, restless mind. When the mind is restless, you see restless mind as restless mind. Mentally, you note mind affected by restlessness. You note few times, then you go away. How can it be yourself? If it's yourself, it stays with you all the time. Because it's not yourself. It's beyond your control as well. That's why it goes away, because condition change. Therefore, see, if we can see whatever, let's say kilesa, defilements, anger, jealousy, sloth and torpor, restlessness, just a mental state, including the good mental state like wisdom, mindfulness, effort, joy, happiness. They are also not belong to us. They arise due to condition. When the condition vanishes, then they go away. If it belongs to you, then you can have it all the time. But sometimes we have no effort. Sometimes we lack of wisdom. So all these are conditioned phenomena. So if we can see all this mental state as conditioned phenomena arise due to causes, then we at that moment we get rid of identity view, we get rid of notion I am. Because at that moment, we do not cling to it. Arahant Punna Mataliputta said, it's by clinging that notion I am occur, not without clinging. So when you see things as a conditioned phenomena, then at that moment, we're free from clinging. And when we're free from clinging, we're free from the notion I am. Okay? This is how we see things as they really are. Okay, thank you for doing it.